Morning. Welcome to Bethel this morning as we gather around God's grace, love, and forgiveness in Jesus Christ on this Palm Sunday, the day we celebrate that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to the sound of the praises of the crowd. Hosanna, meaning save us. And they saw in him that he was king. They were starting to see that he was Lord. And this day of celebration interrupts after these weeks of Lent, of weeks of contemplating sin and our need for forgiveness. This is a day of celebration that interrupts all of that, even as we anticipate entering into Holy Week and his suffering and death. But this day we celebrate. Thank you to Jay Souza for the anthem as part of our celebration. And our opening hymn, our children will be processing with palm branches. You have palm branches to use as you sing and raise in praise to God. God's blessings on your worship. And we begin with our opening hymn, Hosanna, loud Hosanna, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 19th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Jesus answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
thankful, Lord. It does us good to give you thanks, to fill our lungs with the name of the Most High, to start the morning off with good news of your love, and to close the day with thanks for your faithfulness. You made us find joy in what you have done, O Lord. We will sing joyfully about the works of your hands. How spectacular are your works, O Lord. How very deep are your thoughts. The Lord's thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways the Lord's ways. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the sinners abandon their ways, and the unrighteous turn away from their thoughts. Return to the Lord, for he will have compassion on you. Return to our God, for he will forgive generously. Yes, let us return to the Lord and confess our sins. Out of the pit we call you, Lord. Though our voices are faint, let them reach your ears. Lord, if you keep a tally of all our sins, but Lord, you have the power to forgive. His word is our only hope. We wait on the Lord. We wait in our souls, eager as any watchman waits for the morning. You wait for the Lord, because his love for you will never run out, and because he has the power to set you free. Only he will save you from your sins. Only he has sent his Son to die for you and rise again to give you new life. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
The epistle is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Our song of praise, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, is a new one for us. Ann Souza will sing as soloist on the verses, and we'll join together on the chorus. Please stand.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour of first believe. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Let us pray. Almighty God, on this day, your Son Jesus Christ entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed king by those who spread garments and palm branches along his way. Let those branches be for us signs of his victory, and may we now ever hail him as our Lord and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For years, the church had always celebrated this Sunday as Palm Sunday. And yet, over the last couple of decades, it also became known as Passion Sunday. And the reading switched from focused on Palm Sunday to reading the whole Passion history of the Holy Week, all the events of Holy Week. And I always struggled with that because I thought, today's Palm Sunday, and we'll get to Monday, Thursday, we'll get to Good Friday. Today is Palm Sunday, and so I've always wanted to keep it as Palm Sunday. But today I wanted to have you hear a part of the readings from the Passion history, because I want you to be thinking of how that connects with what we heard about Palm Sunday. And so we have another gospel reading here, now in Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray Jesus to them. And they were glad and agreed to give Judas money. So Judas consented and sought an opportunity to betray Jesus to them in the absence of a crowd. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" Jesus said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, Jesus reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And the disciples began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. And a dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our hymn of the day is, O Christ who called the 12, telling the story of Jesus calling the disciples. We go backwards in our readings today in the Gospel of Luke. It's interesting to see what's going on here. We've got Jesus talking to them about how Peter will deny him three times, and Judas is prepared to betray Jesus. And yet, there's the disciples arguing about who's the greatest, Who's the greatest among them? Jesus is saying they're going to deny him, betray him, and they're busy at the table arguing about who's the greatest. There's something wrong with this picture. And, I mean, even if Jesus hadn't been talking about how they would betray him or deny him, run away from him, still, it's interesting to say that one of them was going to be the greatest because Jesus had lined this whole thing up. Everything about that week was lined up by Jesus. They were along for the ride. They were the passengers in the, I guess what, the 13-person van, right? Jesus is driving, the 12 disciples. He's leading them all the way, and yet they're arguing about who's the greatest. I mean, go back to Palm Sunday, and it's going to be a big day. They can sense that. And Jesus says, go into the village ahead of you, and you will find a colt tied up. Bring it back here. I'm going to use that to ride into Jerusalem. Jesus gave them very specific instructions. He knew the plan. He had prepared it. And you get to Maundy Thursday, and he says, let's have the Passover meal together. That's why everybody's in Jerusalem. Most people would go have it with their families, but really, you know, we came here in the 13-person van. This is our family. Let's have the Passover together. And he says, go, and you will find a man carrying a water jar. Follow him. Go into the house that he enters. Ask the master of the house, and the master of the house will have an upper room furnished, all ready for us to have the Passover. Prepare it there. Jesus is leading them all the way. It's all prepared by Jesus, and they are wondering, who's the greatest among us? They seem to be missing the point. Jesus is the one who says, go and you will find. Go and you will find, and they find it just as he had said. If it had been up to the greatest of the disciples, I mean, can you imagine? They're sensing, they're getting closer to Jerusalem, and tomorrow's going to be Sunday. Let's walk into town. We really want people to recognize that Jesus is Lord, he's King. What should we do? How should we make a big splash? Guys, let's get together. Let's think about this. How much money we got? Oh, okay, we don't have too much money. I think that'll buy us, maybe we can rent an economy car for like half a day, and then oh, you're right. We don't have enough money for gas. We'll just put Jesus on the roof of the car and we'll just roll it into Jerusalem. Right? If it was up to the disciples, I mean, I don't think they would have much of a plan about how Jesus was going to enter Jerusalem. Or, you know, you go to the Thursday and he says, let's have the Passover. And they say, well, where should we have the Passover? They didn't say, you know, Jesus, we thought of this years in advance. We've had our name, you know, reservation on a banquet hall for years, so we're all set with the Passover. They didn't say, you know, like, hey, you know, it's kind of crowded, Jesus, but, you know, we're going to, you know, pay somebody off and have a little room for you or anything like that. They had no plan. They said, where do we do this, Jesus? Where do we prepare it? Jesus had the plan. Go and you will find. And really, along the way, the disciples were going and finding that none of them were the greatest. Jesus is the greatest. We know that. And yet Jesus is the greatest who came as servant of all. And so you can sort of realize that here's these disciples, they're sitting at the table and Jesus is there with them and they're arguing about who's the greatest and they're kind of ignoring the greatest guy down there, the Son of God. And they're kind of ignoring him for a moment because he came as servant. He's the one who served the meal. He's the one who washed their feet. He's the one who drove the van. Okay, maybe not the van, but he's the one who has been serving them in so many ways. So I can see how they got confused. Who's the greatest? Oh, right. Jesus is the greatest. And greatest means to be servant. That's the kind of great of a God that we have. And before we pick on the disciples too much, although it's tempting, we've got to recognize that we have this same streak in us. Who's the greatest? And whether we talk about it out loud or not, we spend time in lots of different situations, whether it's at church or at home, among friends, at work, on the sports field, who's the greatest? And we start thinking about how great we are. And we want to take credit for the things that are happening. And spiritually speaking, we want to think of how great we are, how strong we are spiritually, forgetting that Jesus is there at the end of the table. He is the greatest, and he is the servant of all. God lined all of this up for us. He has said, go and you will find ways to serve him. Go and you will find ways to serve one another. Go and you will find that you are equipped and ready to serve. Go and you will find that he is leading you all the way. None of us are the greatest. And even when we look to the greatest, we see that what it means to be the greatest is to be servant. And when we recognize that, we see in ourselves our sin, our pride, the way that we kind of lose sight of things. And then we see that the greatest one, the servant of all, is still there at the table. And as we get quiet and realize Jesus has been listening to our little arguments about who's the greatest, who really did the best, there's Jesus still sitting there to say, I forgive you, as we're convicted by our pride. And then we start to see just what it means to be disciples, what he has really called us to. Not to some great glory as disciples, but we are called to be on donkey detail, as one writer put it. Here the writer is great. He says, the disciples were jockeying for position. Get the pun? And he sends them out to get the donkey. If you have to explain that as a pun, is it a pun? Anyways. They go out to get the donkeys. And this writer says, he says, it's the most unromantic form of ministry. Mucking around a stable, looking suspiciously like horse thieves, and trying to wrestle an untamed and ornery, bulky animal toward the olive groves. Prepare the way of the Lord, the scripture said. And here we are, performing humble and routine tasks. Preparing the way of the Lord looks like standing hip deep in the muck of some stable trying to corral a donkey for Jesus. We are donkey fetchers. That's what we are as disciples. We are donkey fetchers. And he has lined up all kinds of ways for us to serve him and to serve one another, to serve the church and to serve his gospel as it goes out into the world. Go. And you will find. Go and you will find a donkey. Go and you will find the man carrying the water jar. And you think, was Jesus really giving very specific instructions there? But he was. Go ahead of you into the village and you'll find a colt tied up. Not any of the ones running around backyards or in the fields. You walk into town, there's going to be one tied up, and that's what they found. Go into Jerusalem, find a man carrying a water jar, and you think, Jerusalem is filled with people. How are we going to find a man carrying a water jar, except carrying a water jar was woman's work. Men carried water in other ways. If you found a man with a water jar, there's something unique. And so the disciples get there, and they're looking around, and they're, hey, wait, that's a man carrying a water jar. It's got to be him. And it was, just as he had said. It's the same for us donkey fetchers. God has lined up all kinds of ways for you to serve him in the church, serve him in your families and your friends, and to serve him in ways where you are his hands and feet, and you can care for others. You are in all sorts of situations where he has lined it up. And we can decide to go our own way, that we're going to figure out our own way spiritually. But if you try to figure out your own way, you may preserve your role in your spiritual life, but you will not find the donkey, and you will not find the room, which means you don't find Jesus as king, and you don't find Jesus as servant. Jesus has said, follow him, follow his leading, follow his preparation. Go and you will find. Go and you will find that God has prepared all that you need for salvation. You'll find that Jesus is on a donkey because Jesus is King, Lord of all, coming to his people. And you will find him in the upper room, Jesus as servant. That servant who's at the end of the table, almost ignored, who will, within 12 hours, be crucified for everyone on that Thursday night. So many times, the Gospels say, the disciples did not understand and only understood later. And I think there are so many times in our lives when we do not understand. Only do we understand later what it means that God has called us to be donkey fetchers. Why am I doing this? Why am I picking up chairs after service on a 10:45 service that normally we don't have to pick up chairs from? Oh, sorry, that's today. Why do I have to clean up around here? Throw out the coffee grounds, practice music. Why do I have to stand during the service and sit during the service and read the newsletter? It's because we're all donkey fetchers. We all have a whole bunch of different roles about what it means to serve him. And we are led and prepared to serve God in all of those ways so that we're encouraged by God's word together, we encourage one another, and we take that word and his love into the community. You are donkey fetchers, and don't ever forget it. Because from what I've seen in Holy Week, that's a pretty high calling. And the only other higher calling is the guy sitting at the end of the table, and he lived pretty humbly as the king who came to serve all. So go fetch a donkey. Amen. We continue with receiving our offerings and our prayer requests. In our prayer requests today, in the first service, I had Marisa Jones come up. She is a senior at St. Joseph High School in Kenosha, and the senior trip, they do a mission trip to Nicaragua, going to build homes, working with orphans, and the church council decided to provide a grant to her of $250 towards her costs. And I had said in the first service that she still was about $400 away from what she needed to raise. Well, thanks be to God, there's generosity among us through the leading and preparing of God. And so she is fully funded to go on her mission trip. Also, Tony Young was here at the early service, and Sierra Persley stopped through. She's a college student. Both Tony and Sierra are going as young adult volunteers for the National Youth Gathering this summer, meaning they get to wear orange vests and direct people to the right areas, or they host a room. They help out all week with the youth event. Church Council decided to also grant each of them $200 towards the cost, because even though they're going as volunteers, they still have costs to get there and to be a part of things. So we're supporting them in that. Continue to pray for Faith Lutheran Church in Lake Forest. I had mentioned Pastor Braun Campbell had been called to be their pastor. He has returned the call, has declined it, saying that he sees that God still has work for him to do in Alexandria, Virginia. So continue to pray for them, but also pray for Faith Lutheran as they search for a pastor. Chris and Heather Shepherd are missionaries in the Middle East. From Facebook yesterday, they said there was a tragic explosion in Istanbul. They are fine, but they are keeping alert and taking precautions, so continue to pray for them. Then Sam Callahan talked about last week that he was in the hospital with heart issues. This is what he wrote to me this week. I was told I had cardiovascular disease, hardening of the arteries, and a dead heart muscle. But the doctor said it must be a miracle because now I'm clear as a bell, heart beating strong. So before they could do heart procedure, they found out that he didn't need any of that. So that is a miracle, and he's giving praise to God. Also, I got word from Pastor Nicholas Salifu, our friend in northern Ghana, that he has passed the defense of his major applied project for his Doctor of Ministry degree, which means he will graduate in May, and God willing, he will travel here, and we will fulfill what we had said we were going to do, is walk together in May and graduate. So I'm praying that that all happens. Pray for Ray Young, who was hospitalized yesterday. Also, Randy Ketlinski. He's hospitalized in serious condition in Florida. We continue to pray for Jabina, Victor Sam's wife. Where's Victor? As she continues to be at home on bed rest. Pastor Brad Urbach, who Cindy Elwine's former pastor in South Dakota, hospitalized with sepsis. Philip Thornburg, Lynn Barkley's brother, was not able to have jaw surgery. It's much more extensive than they thought it was, so he's struggling. Also, pray for my wife Susan's mother, who was hospitalized yesterday with pneumonia. Susan and the boys left this morning to go to Kentucky to see them. That was a planned trip, but it'll be a little bit different now with her mom in the hospital. Also, Steve Best's mother is recovering from back surgery. Joanne Heidloff asks us to pray for her continued struggles with her shoulder, possible surgery coming up. Rick and Pam Gottman are mourning for Rick's youngest son, Nick. Nick was 44, passed away suddenly this week in Florida. So we pray for Rick and Pam. They're members here at Bethel. They've been traveling around in an RV for the last couple of years. Continue to pray for them. We pray for our loved ones in the armed forces. Also, prayer for family in grief. Marie Hupp's friend, Janet, died this week after a long battle with cancer. And then also a prayer of thanksgiving. Dave and Cheryl Ross welcome a new grandson, Asher, who was born to Megan and Michael Ross, who live in Hong Kong. Are there any other prayers that we can offer today? Yes, Carol. Yes, Ed and Rhoda Bergman are here, and we're glad that you're here, Rhoda. You've had a hard road lately, but we are so glad you're here. And this week, Thursday, they celebrate their 70th wedding anniversary, and I think that deserves prayer, but also. Here's to 70 more. Any other prayers? Yes, Diane. We pray for Michael, a member of the Mundrick family, who is having a bone marrow transplant this week. Other prayers? Oh, yes, Kathy. Oh, yes. Continued thanksgivings for Bethany Schwartz's surgery, and Kathy is able to be home now after caring for her. Let's join in singing the offertory is printed. Please stand. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks this day that you are our King and our servant, that you have left behind your divine glory and you came to serve us and eventually dying and rising again for us. We give you thanks for this salvation. Help us to see the ways in which you have called us to be servants, to you, to your church, to one another, to our communities. We pray that you would humble us in that time. And when we are not humble, Lord, help us to see that, Lord, and forgive us of our sin and lead us again to be your humble servants. Lord, we thank you for your humble servants, Marisa Jones, Tony Young, and Sierra Pursley, serving in different ways this summer. We pray that you'd continue to bless and guide them in their preparations. We ask that you would be with the servants at Faith Lutheran Church in Lake Forest. Help them as they continue to search for a pastor. We thank you for Pastor Braun Campbell and his consideration of the call, but also for leading him to see that you still have work for him to do. Bless him in his ministry in Alexandria, Virginia. Lord, watch over Chris and Heather Shepherd. Watch over them, keep them protected. We thank you that they've been protected recently and ask that you continue to offer that protection to them, their ministry, so that they are able to continue to bring the gospel to those who need to hear it. We also give you thanks with Sam Callahan that he's able to be at home now and that you have done a miracle in him, that whatever was troubling his heart is now gone and that you are restoring him to health. We also give you thanks with Pastor Nicholas Salifu that you were able to help him finish his major applied project, that he will graduate with the Doctor of Ministry degree. We pray that you would open the doors for him to travel here, to graduate, to be continued to supported by the seminary and others, and us as well. Lord, we give you thanks with Bethany Schwartz for her successful surgery. Continue to be mending her. We also give thanks with Dave and Cheryl Ross on the birth of their grandson, Asher. We ask that you'd be with Michael and Megan in Hong Kong and son Asher and watch over them, keep them, and bless them during this time. And Lord, we give you thanks with Ed and Rhoda Bergman that they are here today. Thank you that you've been watching over Rhoda during her health struggles, but they are able to be here today, and we give you thanks for their 70 years of being together in marriage. We thank you for granting them that marriage and that love for one another, and that you would strengthen them in that as they serve one another and serve you each day. Lord, be with all those that we name today who are struggling in health. Be in those situations as we simply pray, thy will be done. Be with Ray Young, Randy Kitlinski, Jabina Jonah, Dave Ross, Nicole French, Lucille Owey, Bev Hallman, Dee, Rhoda Bergman, Marge and Frank Benora, Pat and Paul Tiernan, Larry Peters, Michael, the member of the Mundrick family, Harry Threadgill, Gail Olson's father, June Doherty's sister, Rich Walker's sister, Noah Baker, a family member with a cancer diagnosis, Pastor Brad Urbach, Philip Thornburg, Susan Squires' mother, Steve Best's mother, and Joanne Heidloff as she anticipates procedures for her shoulder. We also ask that you would be with those who are in grief, especially Rick and Pam Gottman as they grieve for the sudden death of Rick's son, Nick. We pray that you would be in and amongst them, their family, in this situation, so that your gospel may be heard. We also ask that you would be with the family and friends of Janet, a friend of Marie Hupp who passed away. We give you thanks for relieving her of her suffering, but we ask that you would be with those who mourn her passing. Help them to know your presence in these days. Finally, Lord, we also lift up before you our loved ones who are in the armed forces. Bless and guide them in their faith, even as they serve at home or abroad. Be with Victoria Rithrick, David Pierce, Leona Keller, Michael Ridley, Sam Garrels, Russell Schmidt Jr., Zachary Cheriton, Andy Warren, Nick Mink, Jennifer Lawson, Matt Schluter, Jason Luker, and Jason Burkett. We thank you for hearing all these prayers according to your mercy. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We continue with the Lord's Supper. We invite all those who are visiting with us to commune with us if you have been baptized and have been taught and believe as we do that the bread is the body of Christ and the wine is the blood of Christ, shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. If this is a new teaching for you or different than your confession, we ask that you wait to commune until we've had more of a chance to talk, but to come forward today to kneel, cross your arms, and receive a blessing from the Lord. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, we join in singing the Sanctus. The first line comes from the words of the angels in Isaiah chapter 6. The second lines come from the words of this day, on Palm Sunday, the words of the crowd, Hosanna. Let us sing.
God, the power and blood, the blood of the Lamb.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share that peace with those around you. It's okay, you can say God's peace. God's peace. You may be seated.
Glory, Father.
Please stand. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you praise this day for all of your blessings, especially for giving us your body and blood. Keep us through this meal to always be under your care. Watch over us as we go throughout the day so that we may never wander from your way. This we pray in your name, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. God is good to us. He is blessing us. The face of God is shining down on us. Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
O let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
God, our own God, shall bless us.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. Well, we have entered Holy Week. A number of things to let you know about. So Holy Week services, 6:30 is Monday, Thursday, 1 o'clock and 6:30, Good Friday. All of those are in the sanctuary. Easter sunrise, 6 a.m., that's in the sanctuary. And then Easter festival, 8 o'clock and 10:45 here in the gym. And Easter breakfast in between those services. Last I knew, we especially needed servers after the 8 o'clock service. I'm not sure if that's still true, but if you can help to serve, that would be wonderful, both helping with the Easter breakfast, but the funds raised that day go towards our National Youth Gathering trip. Tomorrow, if you've got time at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, you can come stuff Easter eggs with candy. And yes, we'll look the other way if you take one piece yourself. But we need those eggs filled for next Saturday's Easter egg hunt. The Easter egg hunt is from birth to up to third grade, and that's from 10 to 11 next Saturday. Older children can come starting at 9 o'clock next Saturday and help hide the eggs. We'll make sure you get a piece of candy too. So if you can help in any of those ways, that would be great. There's also a board back there about all member, new member, y'all come banquet that's coming on April 10th, an annual celebration of us as a gathering of disciples. Please sign up if you're planning on being here, and we'd love to be together to celebrate that day. Also out in the hall, Carol Cook will be out there. We're starting to sign people up for appointments to have your pictures taken for a new church directory. This is our 50th anniversary year as a congregation. And so one of the things we're doing is a picture directory on this year. So you can sign up to get an appointment. Those appointments will be later in April. Finally, if you ordered gift cards to support Youth and Family Ministry, we do have those cards. Do you have them, Carol? You can also see Carol for those. So sign up for a picture, get gift cards. Everything goes through Carol. So, God's blessings. Oh, wait a second. I forgot. You got to be donkey fetchers, right? Or chair fetchers today, all right? So if you can help put things away, that would be great. God's blessings. Thank you.